At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Build a polished wardrobe that shows you stay you wherever you go with Mack Weldon. Use code MACK25 for 25% off your first order of $125 or more at MackWeldon.com.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
I can introduce this as an exhibit.
Okay. Any objection?
Yes, Your Honor, we can deal with it at sidebar. I have no objection to the identification of it. Moving in and did it, I do have objection.
Okay, I'll see you at sidebar.
After that day when you met with Miss Roberts and you try to memorialize your memory about what had happened, after that date, have you discussed what happened that morning with other people?
Yes.
And have you discussed it with police over time?
Yes.
I have no further questions at this time.
Good morning, Ms. McCabe.
Good morning.
When was the last time you spoke with Carrie Roberts before your testimony today?
She called me last night.
What did y'all discuss?
She asked if my daughters were going to be staying home from school today because her daughter would possibly join them.
Did you discuss anything having to do with your testimony?
Not my testimony, no.
Did you discuss anything in that conversation with her prior testimony?
No.
Are you aware that she testified last week?
Yes.
Did you discuss anything after that, after she testified with her about her testimony?
No.
We know that through her testimony that you had a conversation with her the morning that she testified.
Yes.
Did you discuss what you anticipated to be her testimony before, in that conversation, before she testified?
No.
Have you and Ms. Roberts ever discussed anything about either one of your testimonies, either in the last proceeding or in anticipation of this proceeding?
No.
So for the entirety of the last year, even though you both went through a proceeding last year where you both testified under oath and it was highly, highly publicized, neither one of you, your good friend Carrie Roberts, and you have ever discussed either of your testimonies between that time and this time?
No, we've discussed the case, and we've discussed what happened that moment, the moments of the morning, but we have not discussed testimony.
Okay, so let's break that down for a second. I'm talking about, because the timing matters, I'm just asking at this point, if you'll bear with me, just the year from last year at a different proceeding to this year, you have discussed this case.
Yes.
With Ms. Roberts.
Many times, yes.
And you've discussed the specifics of her memory, which would be reflected in her testimony, correct?
We talked about what happened that morning.
So you were talking about what she remembers happening that morning, correct?
No, what happened that morning.
Okay, so not to put too fine a point on it, Ms. McCabe, but if you ask me what I had for dinner last night, it's my memory of what I had for dinner last night. Would you agree with that?
I agree.
Sustained.
Did you talk about her her perception of what happened that morning during the last year?
We've talked about what has happened, yes.
Okay. So
I'm trying to break it down between you and Ms. Roberts. You've discussed her perceptions and her memory of what happened, as well as, and separate and apart from, your memory and your perceptions, correct?
Correct.
So there have been circumstances in which you and Ms. Roberts have compared, by definition, what she remembers versus what you remember, correct?
I wouldn't say compare.
Now let's move to the, well, what would you say in terms of what you've discussed and why?
I would say that we've both talked about what we've discussed, but it wasn't like a comparison. We weren't comparing anything.
You've talked about what you discussed. What does that mean? Talked about your testimony?
No, we've discussed what happened that moment,
right,
and in those moments. So, you know, oh, when I got a phone call, and that's my story. You know, that's my, I got a phone call in the morning, and then Carrie can say, yeah, I got a phone call as well.
As you said, that's your story, correct?
Not my story. It's
those
the truth. It's the truth.
Okay. So, for instance, when you got a phone call at 4:53 in the morning, Carrie Roberts wasn't there, correct?
Correct.
But you've discussed that with her.
Correct.
And you've told her what your perception of that, your memory of that phone call was, even though she was not recipient to and did not witness that phone call, correct?
I've told her about the phone call, correct.
As well as many other details that she was not privy to personally, correct?
Correct.
Conversations that you've had, for instance, conversations that you claim you've had with Ms. Reed, correct?
Correct.
And you've told her what your perception is of those conversations, or your memory was or is of those conversations with Ms. Reed, correct?
Which conversations with Ms. Reed?
Any conversations. Just anything that she wasn't privy to. You've discussed that with her.
Some things, yes, okay. Absolutely.
And conversely, Ms. McCabe, obviously, she's also discussed certain perceptions and memories that she has about this case and the facts of this case, as she recalls them, that you were not necessarily privy to, correct?
Yes.
Things that may have taken place outside your presence, correct?
Correct.
And you've talked about things, I'm sorry, she's talked to you about things, now I'm getting myself confused. Y'all have talked about things that were outside of her perception and outside of your perception. And you've shared those with each other.
We've shared our experiences. We've become very close. We both lived through a traumatic experience.
How many times would you say you and Ms. Roberts have discussed your individual perceptions of what you remember happening on the 28th or the 29th? Of January 2022. How many times?
It would be hard to put a number on that. We talk about, it's hard. We're bonded. We talk about the trauma that we relive every day. Karen called us for help and we both answered the phone.
And that bonding is the glue that holds you two together. Is this case, correct?
Yes.
So that probably, by definition, is the foundation of many, many, many of your conversations. Would you agree?
We've grown into friends where we talk about many other things, sure, besides the case.
Sure, the movie you saw last weekend and what the kids are doing next week. Right?
Yes, and yes, absolutely. Okay, we talk many different things, just like girlfriends do.
I'm just concerned with and asking you about the subject matter of this case and the details and the facts of this case. You two have probably talked hundreds of times, that's fair to say, about your individual perceptions, your respective perceptions of this case, correct?
This happened 3 years ago, and we've talked about it time and time again. This case has traumatized us, so
and
it's a huge part of our lives.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I didn't hear anything else. Can you
please? I believe it just, I meant to.
Okay.
Traumatized our lives.
Okay. It would be impossible for you two to have had so many conversations about your respective perceptions of the details of that day without that influencing the other person, correct? You've somehow been influenced by Ms. Roberts' perceptions and her memories, correct?
I don't think I would say influenced.
Would you say that she's been influenced by your perceptions and your memories?
Objection.
Would you say that, Ms. McCabe?
No, I wouldn't.
Next question.
How many times have you met with anybody from the DA's office, and I'm just going to limit the time frame right now, in anticipation of your appearance in this trial yesterday and today?
I'd say roughly 4 or 5.
Can you give me a time frame when those 4 or 5 meetings were?
I don't have dates. I do remember at one point I met with Mr. Brennan. He was new to the case. So I went in and he introduced himself.
How long ago was that? Weeks or months?
Maybe. I can't give you a time frame. I'm sorry.
Do you think it was last summer?
No.
Do you think it was?
No, it was more recent.
Okay.
Yeah,
sorry. It wasn't in the fall of last year?
No.
It was in 2025 sometime?
I believe so, yes.
You think it might have been February, January?
Again, I can't give you an exact. I'm sorry.
All right. I want to talk about the time frames of those conversations, and I'll ask you a little bit more about those conversations. So that was the first meeting that you had was with Mr. Brennan in anticipation of your testimony. What were the subsequent 4 meetings or so that you've had? With whom and approximately what time?
Okay, so another meeting with Mr. Brennan. Are you looking for who was
sure
there?
Sure, who else was there?
I mean, can I give you a general answer? I didn't write down like every meeting who was there, but
of course.
Generally, okay.
Was Mr. Lally there?
During 1 or 2 of the meetings, he was, yes.
Was Ms. McLaughlin there?
Yes.
Was there anybody else from the DA's office there?
The officer, a trooper, Tully was there at 1. Trooper Buchanick was there at 1. The witness advocates were there. And again, give or take the particular meeting.
Those are 2 meetings that you've talked about with Mr. Brennan and others. What about the 3rd meeting?
No, I'm sorry. I was lumping a few of them together.
Sure, understood.
I apologize.
How many meetings would you have? Let's just start there. How many meetings have you had with Mr. Brennan and either staff or colleagues?
So after the first initial meeting, right. I would say, again, I didn't write them down. Off the top of my head, I can think of 2 or 3 more after that.
Okay.
Excuse me, first initial one.
So that's either 4 or 5 meetings with Mr. Brennan and some combination of his colleagues, Mr. Lally, Ms. McLaughlin, perhaps, Mr. Nelson, perhaps, the other employee of the DA's office, and Troopers Buchanick and Trooper Tully.
Correct.
You asked questions about your, at any of these meetings, I'm just going to lump them all together, any of these 5 meetings. By the way, when was the most recent?
Last night, I had a Zoom call. In regards, I think the court asked them to...
Yes, I'm going to stop you right there.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to ask a different question, and if you don't mind, I'm just going to lead you through this question.
Okay.
You had a conversation last night. I'm not interested in that particular conversation.
Okay.
That was for a very specific purpose. I'm asking you about everything leading up to, but not including last night's conversation, okay?
Okay.
So let's just leave that one out. You've had, I think you mentioned, either 4 or 5 other meetings with Mr. Brennan and some combination of his colleagues and or law enforcement.
Yeah, and I might have, in the 5, included that one from last night.
Okay, fair enough. Were you asked questions in those, we're just going to call them 4 meetings. Were you asked questions during those 4 meetings about your testimony at the first proceeding last year?
I did review some of my testimony, yes.
In what format? Paper transcript or?
No, we just watched a little bit of it.
Do you watch your direct examination?
A little bit, yes.
Did you watch your cross-examination?
A little, yes.
Who cross-examined you?
You did.
That was me?
Yes.
And did you watch the redirect or any part of it?
No.
Did you watch any part of the any subsequent version of recross or additional questions that you were asked?
I don't believe so, no.
Was there a specific area that Mr. Brennan asked you to look at and review in terms of your direct or your cross-examination?
No.
Did you watch the entirety of the direct examination and the entirety of the cross-examination?
I do not believe so, no.
Were you questioned by Mr. Brennan following your review of that that direct and cross-examination?
No.
So he didn't ask you any questions about any of your answers?
He showed me a dash cam and would ask me to point out who's this, who's that, a waterfall video, is this you, is this somebody? Those were the type of questions that he asked me.
What about any discussion about your demeanor and how you performed
in the last proceeding?
Objection.
Sustained.
I'll ask it a different way. What about your demeanor? I'm using a probably a poor word, perform, how you came across, your demeanor in the last proceeding.
Objection.
Sustained.
Did you discuss changing your demeanor at in any way, shape, form, or fashion from the last trial to, I'm sorry, the last proceeding to this trial, my mistake. From the last proceeding to this trial, was your demeanor ever discussed?
No, I was just told to slow down, answer the question, and you know, answer it to the best of my memory.
Was there any discussion about talking about your background, for instance, your family and your children and being a sports mom, as you talked about in your direct examination?
No, I believe I did that in the previous one as well.
Was there any discussion about crafting your testimony in any way to suggest a softer approach?
No.
Was there any discussion about how to develop your testimony from beginning to end?
Okay.
Sustained.
Did Mr. Brennan ask you about, or let me ask it a different way, did Mr. Brennan take you through a series of questions, for instance, as a almost a test run of questions that you might be asked either on direct examination or cross-examination?
No.
Did you practice your testimony with any member of the DA's office?
No.
Were there any sessions where you sat and was subjected to a cross-examination, like a fake cross-examination or a fake direct examination?
No,
there
wasn't.
Anything like that?
No.
What were the things that stand out in your mind? You said you had at least four meetings. How long was each meeting, by the way, ish?
The first meeting, I think, was fairly quick. It was just the introduction.
30 minutes, less than 30 minutes?
I don't want to give a time because I'm not sure.
Okay.
But it was fairly quick, yes.
Okay. What about the second meeting?
Again, I don't know specific meetings, but I can tell you that there was a longer one where I did watch some dash cam video, look at different pictures, things like that.
What kind of pictures did you look at? Other than the dash cam video?
The pictures of John's house.
Okay. The same photos that we saw today?
Yes.
How long in total would you say all of those meetings were? Just taking them all together.
I really can't give you an estimate. I think the first one was fairly quick. The second one, you know, one of them was a little bit longer, maybe a couple hours.
Okay. Then the third one, was that also a couple hours, or was that one fairly quick?
That was fairly quick, yes.
So fair to say between 2, 3, 4 hours total meeting times?
Again, I'd have to probably go back and look at the date and the time. I really can't give you a specific amount of time. I apologize.
Did Trooper Tully or Trooper Buchanek ask you any questions during the course of any of these meetings?
Regarding the case, no, but we did briefly talk about how my kids were, how their kids were.
But they didn't ask you any questions about your testimony, about your about the case, about your memories, about specific facts?
I do not believe so, no.
During any of these meetings, was anybody taking notes? Ms. McLaughlin, Mr. Lally, Mr. Brennan, any of the troopers?
No, I don't believe so.
So there was several hours worth of meetings with you, and nobody scribed any notes that you saw?
None that I saw, no.
And these meetings were not recorded?
I do not believe so, no.
Ms. McCabe, I'm going to ask you a series of questions about your family because I just want to make sure it's crystal clear who's who. You're married to Matt McCabe, correct?
Yes.
Your sister is Nicole Albert.
Yes.
Nicole is married to Brian Albert.
Yes.
It was Brian Albert's home that you were at, 34 Fairview, that you arrived at, where John's body was found, correct?
Yes.
The same home where that late night gathering was on January 28th, going into the morning of the 29th, correct?
Yes.
Would you consider yourself to be close with your sister Nicole and Brian?
Yes, very close.
Your families are, it's not just you and Nicole, your whole families are close, correct?
Yes, we have a very close family.
How long have you known Brian Albert?
Since I was in kindergarten.
You consider him, even though he is not blood related to you, you consider him family?
Yes.
In addition to Brian and Nicole Albert, you're also very close with Chris and Julie Albert, correct?
Yes.
Just to be clear, and I'm going to do this slowly.
Okay.
Brian Albert's younger brother is Chris Albert, correct?
Yes.
Chris Albert is married to Julie Albert.
Yes.
You consider Chris and Julie family, even though there may not be a blood relation as well, correct?
Yes.
Chris Albert is a Canton Select Board member, is that right?
Now he is, yes.
And the Canton, that's in Canton? I said Select Board member, did I mention Canton Select Board member?
It is in Canton, okay. Yes.
All right, obviously it's in Canton. The Canton Police Department reports to the Select Board, correct?
I'm not aware.
You're not aware of that echelon?
No.
Okay. You're aware that Brian Albert, your friend of, I'm not going to say how many years, but since kindergarten,
mm-hmm.
was a Boston police officer.
Yes.
He had been a lifetime law enforcement officer for some 30 years before he retired recently, correct?
Yes.
He's a trained first responder, obviously.
Yes.
Brian Albert and Chris Albert have another brother named Kevin Albert, correct?
Yes.
Kevin Albert is a detective with a police department, correct?
Yes, I believe that's his title. I'm 100%.
Which police department is Kevin Albert associated with?
Canton.
And you've grown up in Canton your whole life, you indicated.
Yes.
Your entire family has grown up in Canton, correct?
Yes.
And you, Ms. McCabe, have three sisters. Nicole, we've talked about. You also have a sister named Shelley, is that right?
Michelle, yes.
Michelle?
Mm-hmm.
And Denise, who you mentioned in your direct examination.
Yes.
Nicole is also known by nickname, is that right?
Yes.
What is Nicole's nickname within the family?
Coco.
Does Shelley also have a nickname? Well, I guess Shelley is the shortened name for Michelle, correct?
Yes.
What about Denise?
She's Dee Dee.
Dee Dee?
Yeah, like okay. D-E-E-D-E-E.
Your father lives close by in a neighboring town, correct?
Yes.
Don't tell me the town, but it's relatively close to Canton.
20 minutes, yes.
Okay. His name is Tom Weeks?
Yes.
There are, I'm not going to go through all of them right now because the family tree is getting large, but there are children, cousins, second cousins, nephews, aunts, uncles. There's a combination of familial relations within that set of folks that I just talked about, Chris and Brian and Nicole and you and Matt and the folks that we've just talked about.
Yes.
That family, that large family, celebrates holidays together, I'm guessing?
We don't typically, celebrate with Kevin and Chris, but my family does, yes.
Along with Brian, Albert, and Nicole?
Yes, of course.
Birthdays are celebrated within that family?
Yes.
Go on vacations together, I'm guessing?
Yes.
Gatherings, like the one on the 28th?
Yes.
Special events?
Yes.
Spend weekends together?
Yes.
You mentioned a lot of sporting events. There's a lot of sporting events that y'all go to together?
Yes.
So it is very, very easy to see that it's an extremely close-knit family.
Yes.
And naturally, you're very protective of your family, as anybody would be.
Yes, I love my family.
You also said that you knew, and your words, liked Karen Reed, my client, on the 28th of January 2022, correct?
Yes.
But she very much is not family, correct?
Correct.
She certainly was not as important to you as your actual family, the Alberts, the McCabes, the folks associated with them. Is that right?
Yes.
On January 28th, 2022, members of the Albert family and the McCabe family all went to a bar together, had drinks together that night, waterfall. We've heard a little bit about that, correct?
Correct.
Ultimately, you went back to your sister's house for the after party that we've heard so much about. That was at Brian Albert's house, is that right?
Yes.
You've been interviewed, I think you indicated multiple times, you didn't even give a number of how many times you've been interviewed by police in this case, is that right?
Yes.
Your family is connected to people at Boston Police Department. We've just talked about that, Brian Albert, is that right?
Well, Brian's was a Boston police officer.
Right. So when I say connected, there is some familial or family or friendly connection to that police agency, Boston Police Department. It'd be Brian Albert in this case, correct?
The objection sustained.
There's also a connection to the Massachusetts State Police through your family, is that right?
Objection.
So define connection.
Julie and Chris Albert are very, very close to you. Correct.
I'm close with Julie and Chris, right. Yes.
You're aware that Michael Proctor's sister, Courtney, is basically best friends with Julie.
No, I'm not aware of that. She's best friends with Julie's sister, Jillian.
Okay, so Courtney's best friends with Jillian, mm-hmm. whose sister's to Julie,
yes.
who's married to Chris, who's an Albert, who's the little brother of Brian Albert.
Yes.
Okay. And Canton Police Department. There's also some connections there as well, Kevin Albert being the most obvious of them.
Objection.
I'm going to allow that. Do you have a connection with the Canton Police Department?
Not with the department, but with Kevin Albert.
Right, who's a member of the department.
Yes, but my relationship's with him.
Understood. You've indicated that you've been interviewed by law enforcement agents associated with Massachusetts State, with Canton Police Department. That'd be Officer Lank.
Yes.
Can I stop Officer you for Good. A second and see counsel at sidebar, please?
Sure.
So we'll see in about 20 minutes.
Please rise for the jury. Jurors, right this way. Please leave your notebooks and chairs.
Sure. Counsel, sidebar, please.
Yes, please. Oh, yeah. Oh, these?
Jurors, thank you for your patience. Sometimes there are matters that we need to address, and that's what happened here. So I appreciate your patience. Mr. Jackson, could we please have Ms. McKay back in here? Paul?
Paul?
All right, Mr. Jackson, go right ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. When last we left off, we were talking a little bit about some of the familial connections that your family has with certain law enforcement agencies. We talked about Boston Police Department, obviously, Brian Albert. We talked a little bit about Massachusetts State Police and knowing friends of friends with regard to Chris and Julie, correct?
Yeah.
Knowing friends of Chris and Julie?
Friends of Chris and Julie.
Is that your relationship?
With who?
I'd asked you about, I'll ask you a different question.
Okay.
A little bit vague. Courtney Proctor is friends with Julie's sister.
Yes.
And obviously knows, Courtney also knows Julie and Chris, correct?
Sustained.
And there's also a connection to Canton Police Department through Kevin Albert. Is that right?
Object.
Can you answer that? Is there a connection? Do you have a connection with the Canton Police Department through Kevin Albert?
Not with the police department, but Kevin Albert is Brian Albert's brother.
Right. And Kevin works for whom?
The Canton Police.
Thank you. So you've been interviewed many times by different law enforcement agencies, be they Massachusetts State Police, Canton Police, or otherwise, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Those interviews have not just been over the period of weeks, it's been over the period of weeks and months and even years since this occurred, correct?
Yes.
You were contacted by another law enforcement agency that
was not Massachusetts State Police and not Canton Police Department at one point in April of 2023. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I want to talk for a second about that series of interview, or that interview. You were contacted at your residence by these members of this law enforcement agency, correct?
Yes.
All right. Later that same day, you did sit down with those same law enforcement officers for a formal interview.
On that
same day that you were contacted by them, they also went into your home and actually interviewed you, correct?
Yes, it was brief.
All right. Those law enforcement officers identified themselves as being associated with an agency that is not Massachusetts State Police. You understood that?
Yes.
And you understood that they were not involved with Canton Police Department either, correct?
Correct.
Completely separate agency, is that right?
Yes.
During the course of that interview, those officers informed you very specifically, Ms. McCabe, that it is a crime to lie to them even during an interview, correct?
Yes.
Those law enforcement officers informed you that they were investigating certain circumstances attendant to John O'Keefe's death, correct?
They were very vague on what they were.
Understood.
I don't know what they were investigating.
Okay. But you did understand that it was having something to do with your involvement at 34 Fairview on January 28th, 29th, 2022.
Objection.
As a witness or otherwise?
Objection.
Sustained as to certain terminologies.
Sure. Let me see if I can rephrase that. Ms. McCabe, you were aware of the subject matter of their interview, right? They weren't interviewing about a car you bought last year, correct?
Correct.
They were interviewing you about, basically, about what you're testifying to here, correct?
When I first spoke with them, the conversation was pretty vague.
But the subject matter, vague or specific, mm-hmm. was about this subject matter?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. Mm-hmm. They first contacted you telephonically, called you on the phone. Is that right?
Actually, they walked up to my car.
They walked up to your car?
Yes.
Okay, that was the very first introduction, correct?
Yes.
At that point, they had not identified themselves, correct?
They didn't, no.
All right, and at that point, you told them that you were not Jennifer McCabe. They asked you who you were, and you said, I'm Nicole.
I thought they were, like, selling something, so I was like, oh, no, I'm not the homeowner.
Fair enough. However, after they said, sorry, after you said, I'm not Jennifer McCabe, mm-hmm. you walked into the house, they then called you on the phone.
Yes, correct.
They were still sitting outside your house.
I don't know where they were, but they did call me.
They were close by.
I'm not aware.
Well, the call came almost immediately after you walked back in the house, correct?
I'm not sure how much time had passed.
Give me an idea. It wasn't an hour. It was
No, it was
five
soon
or ten
after.
Minutes.
I'm just not sure. I can't tell you where they were located. I'm sorry.
Okay. They told you that they would, at that point, they identified themselves as being law enforcement agents, correct?
When they called me, yes.
And they told you at that time that they were not with Canton Police, you knew at least, they were not with Canton Police Department, they were not troopers with Massachusetts State Police, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And they told you that they would like to have an interview with you, they'd like to have a sit-down talk with you, correct?
Yes.
You told them that you would be willing to submit to an interview, but you needed about 10 minutes to get ready, correct?
Yes.
You ultimately did allow them into your home, and you did sit down for a formal interview with them, correct?
Yes, brief, but yes.
And it was during that formal interview inside the home that it was explained to you that it would be a crime for you to lie to them on any material issue, correct?
Yes.
During the course of your interview, your husband, Matt McCabe, came home. Is that right?
Yes.
As these law enforcement agents continued to question you, these law enforcement officers continued to question you at some point, you informed them that you did not feel comfortable with any further questioning and you suspended the interview, correct?
Yes.
Before leaving, however, those same law enforcement officers asked you if you had contacted anyone in those 10 minutes when you indicated I need 10 minutes to get ready, between the time they called you and the time that they showed up and came inside your house, correct?
Yes.
You told them that you had contacted your husband, Matt McCabe.
Yes.
Which is why he came home, right?
Yes.
And you told them that you had called Carrie Roberts before they interviewed you, correct? At that moment.
I'm not 100% sure, but if you have it, I'll... It seems like something I would do, but if you have it, could show me.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I may have just a moment, Your Honor.
Okay.
May I approach briefly?
Yes.
Mr. Ryan. Welcome.
First, I'm going to ask you, Ms. McCabe, if you recognized that as being a report of that interview, just general, yes or no?
It appears to be, yes.
May I approach the witness stand and stand by the witness stand for a couple of questions?
Yes.
Thank you. If I can have that.
Sure.
I want to direct your attention, if I may, for court and counsel, page 3 of 4, starting with the second to the last full paragraph, going into page 5, top full paragraph. I'm sorry, page 4, top full paragraph.
Okay.
If you could review those two paragraphs, or even to yourself, and then look up and let me know when you're finished. May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. McCabe.
Yes.
Did reviewing those paragraphs refresh your recollection as to whether or not, as to what you told those agents initially? What you told those officers initially from that other law enforcement agency that about who you contacted in that 10-minute interval?
Yes, I told them.
And you told them that you had contacted your husband, Matt McCabe.
Yes.
And Carrie Roberts.
Correct.
I want to stick with that for just a quick second. One of the first calls you made after being contacted by these other law enforcement officers from a different agency, one of the first calls you made was to Carrie Roberts. Is that right?
She was the first one.
That's what I'm asking. One of the first two calls you made, your husband.
Right.
Come home, there's law enforcement outside my door, I'm guessing is what you said, correct?
I don't remember my exact words now, but I did ask him to come home, correct?
And yes. Carrie Roberts.
Okay, yes.
You wanted to let Ms. Roberts know that you had been contacted by certain officers from a different agency, correct?
I was curious if they had already been to her.
That was my next question.
Yeah.
You also wanted to find out, had these law enforcement officers from this different agency contacted her, correct?
Yes, because typically she's...
Ms. McCabe, yes or no?
Oh, sorry, I was just trying to explain.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Is that why you contacted her, to find out if, in fact, they had contacted her before you? Yes or no?
Yes.
And you also wanted to find out what she told them, if she had been contacted by them, correct? That was your motive in calling her?
No.
So you just wanted to find out, had she been contacted?
Yes.
But if she had said yes, you weren't going to say, and what the hell did they say? What'd they ask you?
Well, I can't say what I would have answered, what I would have asked her, but I know I was calling to see if they had been there. Yes, that
was
correct.
That was your intent?
I called to ask her if they had been there, yes.
So that was your intent, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Your motive in calling Carrie Roberts at that moment before your interview was to ensure that your story would line up with her story, Ms. McCabe. Isn't that right?
No, that is not.
You wanted to find out if she had talked to these particular law enforcement officers and what she had told them so that your story could somehow align or it could inform how you responded to questions that they asked you. Isn't that true?
That's not true. We both know what happened. We don't have to have a story. There is no story. There's what happened, and that's it.
So if that's true, Ms. McCabe,
mm-hmm.
you have no reason to call Carrie and ask her if she had been contacted by these law enforcement agents, because it's just the truth, correct?
We're going through this whole experience together. We call each other about everything. That's nothing more than that. I'm sorry.
Let her finish her answer. Go ahead, Ms. McCabe. You can finish that.
There's nothing more than me calling and saying, hey, did they come to your house? That's what we did when the media showed up, when Ms. Reed's private investigator showed up. We just give each other the heads up, hey, somebody's coming. Because we're just like normal moms. We're not used to this.
And that's helpful in making sure that the stories she tells are consistent with the stories you tell to different law enforcement agencies, correct?
No, we are not telling stories.
So let her finish. You said no what?
I said no, we're not telling stories. We don't have to compare.
And if in fact what you were telling is just the truth, there would be no reason for you to inquire about who's contacted her when or what purpose. Would there be no reason?
There's no inquiring. It's like when you're a little, when the ice cream truck was at the street next door and I'm saying, did the ice cream truck come? It's really that simple.
So you asked a question.
Not about the ice cream truck.
An argumentative question and she responded in kind. Next question.
Thank you. You also testified in your direct examination, staying with Ms. Roberts for just a second, about a timeline that you and Ms. Roberts put together, correct?
Yes.
That's another example of the two of you talking about your own perceptions and comparing and contrasting those perceptions and putting it down on paper, correct?
No,
Is that a yes or no?
It's a no. Okay. If you, can I explain or no?
I'm sure Mr. Brennan will have follow-up questions. After you gave that answer to those law enforcement officers at that separate law enforcement agency, they asked you, was there anyone else that you contacted in that 10-minute period before we got a chance to talk to you?
Mm-hmm.
And your answer was no, correct?
Correct.
And that was a lie, correct?
It wasn't a lie, no.
Was it true?
Was it
the truth or a lie?
It wasn't a lie.
Okay, so it was the truth. You had not spoken to any other person between the time they contacted you telephonically and you said, I need 10 minutes, and then they came in the door. During that arc of time, you didn't talk to anybody else or contact anybody else other than Matt McCabe and Carrie Roberts. Now you're testifying that was a true statement.
I can't answer that yes or no.
It's pretty binary. Had you talked, well, let me ask you this. In point of fact, you did talk to other people. Did you contact others in addition to Matt McCabe and Carrie Roberts, correct? Yes or no?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So when you said no to the answer,
Did you contact anyone other than Matt and Carrie? That would be, by definition, Ms. McKay, a lie. Correct?
No.
It's not a lie? Is there some shade of lie that I'm not aware of?
It's the way you're asking the question. If I could explain,
let me ask it,
it will make
way.
More sense to you.
The agents asked you, I'm going to go over this one more time, then I'm going to move on. The agents asked you, in fact, did you contact anyone between the time we called you and set up the interview and the 10 minutes before we walked in the door? They asked you that question, correct?
The objection sustained. Watch the choice of language.
I'm sorry. I meant the law enforcement agency. That law enforcement agency, the members of that law enforcement agency contacted you. Mm-hmm. Sorry. They asked you who you had contacted between the time they first telephoned you and walked in the door 10 minutes later. Correct?
Correct.
Okay. Data point number one. Data point number two. You told them Matt and Carrie, correct?
Correct.
You had actually contacted, they then asked you, did you contact anyone else other than Matt and Carrie, correct?
Correct.
And you said, no. Is that correct?
At that moment, I said no, yes.
Correct. At that, or any moment.
No, at that moment, because they had just come in my house.
Only one person can talk at a time.
You said the word no, correct?
She was finishing her answer,
I had said no. Because I was in a situation where there are two officers from a different agent had come in, were asking me questions, or they had said, can I come in and ask you questions? At first I thought they were selling something, then they identified themselves. I just dropped my kids off at school. Gonna be completely honest, I hadn't brushed my teeth. So I kind of made some
objection,
phone calls.
Your Honor. This is non-responsive.
So next question is
thank you. Ms. McCabe, after you said no, that you hadn't contacted anybody else, those two law enforcement officers from that separate agency who had told you it was a crime to lie to them, they left, correct?
Yes.
Subsequent to that, Mr. McCabe, your husband...
Objection.
Sustained.
They left you their card so you could call them if need be, correct?
Yes, they did.
And you, in fact, did call them back, correct?
Yes, I did.
Without telling me the content of the conversation you had, did you have a conversation with Mr. McCabe?
Objection.
Sustained.
Did you call them back and say, I'm calling you back because my husband told me
objection.
That I lied to you, and I better clear that lie up.
So, sustained. Jurors, remember I told you before that only answers to questions are evidence? Be mindful of that.
May we
next,
approach?
Yes.
May I?
Yes.
Thank you, Your Honor. You ultimately called these officers back, correct?
Yes.
And you explained to them that you had been untruthful with them, correct?
I explained that I had forgotten to mention a couple of people that I had reached out to.
You had forgotten? Is that your testimony?
Yes.
You had forgotten. You remembered Matt and you remembered Carrie, but you had forgotten the others that you had just contacted maybe 30 minutes before.
Yes.
There were five people that you contacted, weren't there?
I contacted Matt.
Let's go through them. I'm just asking yes or no.
I know four off the top of my head.
Okay, let's go through them.
Okay.
You contacted your husband, correct?
Yes.
You contacted Carrie Roberts, correct?
Yes.
You contacted Peggy O'Keefe, correct?
Yes.
Then, Ms. McCabe, you contacted the district attorney's office, correct?
My witness advocate.
The district attorney's office.
My witness advocate who works for the district attorney's office.
Thank you, Ms. McCabe.
Yes.
And
You also left out that you contacted Brian Albert himself, correct?
Yes, my brother-in-law.
For some reason, your brother-in-law, who's the 30-year Boston police detective, correct?
Yes.
And on whose lawn John O'Keefe was found dead or dying?
Objection.
I'll allow that.
Correct?
Yes.
For some reason, you did not want these officers to know that you had communicated specifically with Brian Albert, the homeowner, just before you talked to them. Correct?
No, incorrect.
There was some reason that was important enough for you to lie about that, even though you had been admonished that it's a crime to lie about that to those officers. Correct?
Incorrect. I didn't lie to them. I had forgotten who I had called.
And all of a sudden, you had an epiphany right after they walked out the door?
Yes. Matt said, who have you spoken to?
Objection.
I'm going to allow it. It's out. You're not to go any further, Mr. Jones.
Ms. McCabe, I want to draw your attention to January 28. You had gone out drinking with your family at the Waterfall Bar and Grill, correct?
I went with my husband and met my sister, yes.
And met the other family, correct? The other family members, meaning
my niece.
Matt McCabe, Nicole, Chris, Julie, Caitlin, correct?
Yes.
And I think you mentioned Tristan was there as well?
Yes.
You were later joined by Nick and Karina Kolakithis, is that right?
Yes.
Ultimately, Brian Higgins showed up?
Yes.
And Brian Albert showed up?
Yes.
You previously indicated that Caitlin's boyfriend, Tristan, left early for whatever reason. He had errands to run or had to get to bed early for some reason, is that right?
He left before us, yes.
So he didn't stay through the shank of the evening?
Through the what?
The shank of the evening, through the course of the evening.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And ultimately, at the waterfall, John O'Keefe and Miss Reed showed up as well?
Yes.
You didn't see any tension at all between John O'Keefe and Karen that night, did you?
No, I didn't.
They appeared to be getting along?
Yeah. Yes.
Sort of a normal couple having a nice evening out together?
Yes.
Neither John nor Karen Reed appeared drunk or inebriated, out of sorts?
No, I wouldn't categorize them as drunk or inebriated.
And not
but again, I don't know what the definition of drunk is.
Well, that's a fair statement. I'm not asking for their BAC, but they didn't appear to be stumbling around, falling all over themselves and sloppy drunk, correct?
No.
Out of control, nothing like that?
Nope.
Okay. You did see Brian Higgins and Brian Albert at a high-top table sort of together through the course of that evening, correct?
We were all kind of around like a long high top table.
And John O'Keefe, and as you look at the, I'm going to use the perspective of the video that we've seen, that camera angle that we've seen, John O'Keefe and Miss Reed were sort of further off in the corner, closer to the bar rather than to the tables, correct? Along with the Kolakithises and those, and you, as a matter of fact.
Yes. At different times, everyone was kind of moving around. I spent the majority of the time that Karen and John were there speaking with Karen.
And that was sort of over toward the bar?
We weren't in the bar, we were at the table. So it was one side of the table and the other. It wasn't like far away.
Right.
Kind of, yeah.
I'm using the bar sort of as a landmark for nothing. I didn't mean you were sidled up to the bar, but just sort of as a landmark. You were closer to the bar than, for instance, in the foreground, which would be the high top tables in the foreground, correct?
We were just on the other, I'm confused about this. We were just on the other side of the table.
Okay. You did see on the opposite side of that high top table, that's where Brian Albert and Brian Higgins were standing, talking, and communicating with each other. Is that right?
I believe so. I was talking to Miss Reed. I wasn't really paying attention to them.
Did you ever see those two men get physical with one another that night?
I did not that night. I did not see that.
Have you ever seen a full review in all the hours that you've sort of prepped for your testimony? Have you been shown that waterfall video from the time you got there until the time you left?
Not the full video, but I have seen good portion of it, yes.
Okay, and you've certainly seen the portion where Brian Albert and Brian Higgins get up from the table and sort of get physical with one another, correct?
I would say more like play fighting, and Nick Kolakidis was a little bit like doing it with them as well.
Okay, so the physical part is, all I'm asking is, did they touch each other? Yes.
I guess.
And you described it as play fighting, correct?
If we could watch the video, it might explain it better than I could.
We probably will.
Oh, okay.
But right now, I'm just asking about your memory. You remember them squaring off on one another, playing, but squaring off on one another, correct?
I don't remember them squaring off. Like I said, I just watched the video. I don't remember it from that night, and I didn't really pay attention. It looked like foolish, like... Guys, just I don't even know how to describe it.
From your perspective, having watched the video, mm-hmm. did it appear that they squared off on each other and sort of took a fighting stance?
I didn't look at it that in depth, so I could not say that.
Did you see them walk up to each other and grapple with one another? Like they were then notice punching each other.
Right.
I get that.
Mm-hmm.
Were they grappling with one another, like faking punches to each other?
I don't know.
Almost like sparring a little bit.
I don't honestly know.
But you did see them.
I saw them together. It's blurry, and they're kind of, I don't know really what they're doing.
Okay, but they weren't standing there holding hands for
us. Oh, God, no. No.
They weren't on their phones, right?
They were engaging with each other, playfully grabbing at each other. I don't really...
Playfully grabbing at each other, play fighting, correct? That's my point.
I'd have to watch the video to categorize it as play fighting.
You don't have that in your head?
I didn't know it was a quick clip. I wasn't like focusing on Brian and Brian. I was just identifying that that was myself in the video, and there was Miss Reed. And I believe Miss Reed actually did some play fighting to Matt.
There was, in fact, to Matt?
Yeah, I feel like she was about like this to Matt at one point, yeah, okay. In the video.
So let's talk about Brian and Brian, Brian mm-hmm. Higgins and Brian Albert.
Mm-hmm.
Those two men, very large in stature, correct?
They're big guys, yeah.
Big boys.
Mm-hmm.
A lot bigger than me, right?
Yeah.
They took a fighting stance with each other and started grappling, playing, coming toward each other as if they were engaging in a fake physical altercation, correct?
I did not see that. I'm sorry.
Okay. You didn't even see it on the video.
I saw them on the video grabbing at each other. I didn't see stances or... But again, I didn't pay much attention to it.
And that's your best memory... As you sit here today?
Yes.
Okay. Eventually, you, your husband, Brian Albert, Brian Higgins, Nicole, Caitlin, everybody went over to 34 Fairview at the end of the night.
Yes.
Correct? The bar closed at, I'm guessing, midnight.
Okay.
Is that right?
I think we were wrapping up around then. I don't know what time it actually closes.
When you left Waterfall, the people that were still there included Matt, your husband, and John O'Keefe. Is that right?
Yes.
You walked out with Karina Kolakidis and Karen Reed.
Yes.
And you said to Miss Reed something along the lines of, you're coming with me, correct?
I said, why don't you come with me?
Okay, fair enough. You were prompting her to join you for the ride over to 34 Fairview. Is that right?
Yes.
You even went outside and sort of waited in the cold. There's a video. Have you seen the video of you outside? The surveillance video of you outside in the cold?
Yes.
And you're sort of waiting there, moving from foot to foot like it's freezing out, which I'm sure it was, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In a big puffy coat of some kind, right?
So the question was, I moving foot to foot in a coat? Yes.
My question is more, did you see yourself waiting outside in the cold?
I saw myself convert. I believe I was in a conversation at that point when I was standing out there with John and Karen.
And that's when you were asking Karen to come with you?
No, I had asked Karen previously when we were at the door to come with me because I didn't know how long Matt and John were going to be in the bar because they were in there still.
And that would have, by definition, brought Karen to 34 Fairview separate and apart from John O'Keefe if Karen had come with you.
Yes. So, mm-hmm.
Miss Reed ultimately declined your invitation and did go with John. Is that right?
John ended up coming to the door, so they just went together, yes.
And finally, you walked away and went with your husband, Matt, over to 34 Fairview in your personal vehicle, correct?
Yes.
When you arrived at 34 Fairview, were you the first among the group that we've just talked about to arrive, or had others arrived before you?
Others had arrived before me.
When you walked in to 34 Fairview, where was everybody generally located? Give me a layout of the interior of the home, how you walked in, and where everybody was located, the people that were there when you walked in from the waterfall.
So I walked in through the front door. I took a right into the kitchen. And then there were people sitting around the kitchen table, Brian Albert Jr., Julie Nagel, Sarah Levinson, Caitlin Albert. My sister was over more towards like the counters and the sink. And Brian Albert and Brian Higgins were, there's like a room right off of the kitchen, like a TV room. And they were in there just talking. I think Nicole had like put up some new pictures. So, or maybe the son and the Marines, they might have been looking at a picture. Vaguely, I have a faint memory of that.
You indicated that you walked in the front door, correct?
Yes.
May I approach briefly?
Yes.
This is your company. I'll take care of the objection later. Can you just take a look at that photograph for just a quick second?
Yes.
Do you recognize that photograph?
Yes.
What do you recognize that photograph as being?
It's my sister's house.
34 Fairview?
Yes, sorry, 34 Fairview.
Brian Albert's house as well?
Yes.
Your Honor, I'd like to mark this as mark for identification. There's a...
Okay. Identification's fine.
Thank you. If I may... What would be the next in order? Mm-hmm.
Exhibit F for identification.
Thank you.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to care for yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps, ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today for 10% off your first month.